Welcome back to Bitcoin Builders. Today, we are wrapping up our Bitcoin Builders Summer Special featuring companies from the first cohort of In Wolf's Clothing. Wolf is not only the sponsor of Bitcoin Builders, but also the sponsor of Bitcoin Builders. They are the first accelerator program dedicated entirely to Bitcoin and Lightning. And the three companies I'm featuring in this series show just how diverse the set of people building on Bitcoin really are. Today, I'm joined by Evan Kaloudis. Evan has for the last 4 years been building Zeus, an open source non-custodial Bitcoin wallet that gives you full control over how you make payments. In today's conversation, we talk about where they've been, how the infrastructure for building on Lightning has changed, and what they're looking to build next. It's Thursday, June 29th. This is Bitcoin Builders. Let's go. All right, Evan, welcome to Bitcoin Builders. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk Bitcoin, to talk Lightning. But for those who aren't familiar with you, who are you? What do you do?
I'm Evan Kaloudis. I'm the founder of Zeus. And Zeus is a mobile Lightning wallet for iOS and Android, and primarily allows you to connect your node back at home.
Amazing. We are going to get deep into that. But first, let's do a little bit of your story. How did you and when did you start paying attention to Bitcoin?
Fantastic question. So I think I first had Bitcoin pop onto my radar my freshman year of college. I must have seen it on like Slashdot or something. And I was pretty dismissive about it, which was pretty funny. You know, this is someone who was in school to study computer science, you know, had a good understanding of Austrian economics, was exposed to it, had read several books. But yeah, at the time, I really just dismissed it as something like, I don't know, RuneScape Gold. And it wasn't until some years later, probably my junior or senior year, that I really had my opinion on it shift quite drastically. And it wasn't until I had taken more time to study it and, you know, just experience those first transactions. Not only just sending and receiving those uncentralable payments, but also recovering them to other devices. The fact that you could take these 12 or 24 words and recovering them on a completely different device, I think that's where it really, you know, sparked for me. Like, I really understood the power of it.
And when it came to the journey from that moment of sort of having your personal, you know, revelatory moment to actually building a company in the space, what was that like for you?
Well, for me, it was a really quite a long journey. So when I had started the app, it was my first gig out of school. I had taken a position at a cybersecurity company, which was great. Got to wear a lot of different hats there. But yeah, Zeus really just started as a hobbyist project that I worked on nights and weekends. And for me, it took a while. It took 4 whole years of it just being this, you know, sort of hobby of sorts before I made the plunge and decided to go full time on it.
How has the infrastructure for Lightning and Bitcoin building changed over that period? You know, you were working on this for a long time. I imagine in part probably just to learn about, you know, something that was just coming online. But, you know, what does it look like today that's different, you know, than when you started?
Oh, man, it's night and day. Where we were at was really just people tinkering around. We didn't really know if this thing was viable. We still had tons of issues from, you know, just really bad UX, getting users to using Lightning, especially in a self-custodial manner. I feel like the only viable solutions were all just custodial, and you're seeing that change really drastically now. But yeah, just in general, the tooling around it, the maturity of the implementations, the places you can use Lightning, you know, it's really night and day. We've made so much progress, despite there being still so much more to do.
Tell us a little bit about the sort of product approach of Zeus in terms of how it works, its position on custodial versus non-custodial, although I think I know, but you know, give us, I guess, a little bit of the product.
Right. So Zeus right now, as it stands, is a Lightning wallet for merchants and node operators. So you can easily send and receive Bitcoin, but you also get that full granular control of your node that you don't get with many products. And I think we're quite unique, especially on the mobile front, to offer things like being able to open up your own channels, close them out if you want, change the fees on them, manually rebalance them. We're very unique in that regard. But yeah, it's primarily at the moment for people who are already running a node, whether that be at home behind their firewall or in the cloud. And we've got integrations on all the major node platforms from Raspberry Blitz, BTC Pay, Umbrel, Start9. And yeah, we've just been able to build up a really amazing user base of, I think we've got roughly 10,000 users right now. I think actually we just crossed that threshold, which is a pretty big milestone. And yeah, for something that's generally for more technical users that do want to self-custody their coins, we're really proud of what we've accomplished.
Within that 10,000, which is a meaningful portion of you know, Lightning Network users, I believe.
Yeah, I would say so. I think we're talking about a network that has only 18,000 publicly facing Lightning Network nodes. And I would estimate somewhere between 100 and 200,000 active users.
Yeah. What do you think, what do you see the composition as in terms of, you know, I mean, some of this you won't know, so I imagine it's pretty anecdotal, but, you know, who are running these nodes now? Who are Zeus users? And have you seen that change at all, you know, over the time that you've been working on it?
Yeah, so I would say that these, you know, node platforms, especially Umbrel, which has a huge market share, has really lowered the barrier to entry. When I first started this project, you had to go and, you know, manually build L&D or Core Lightning, whatever other interface on top of that, and sort of just figure out the networking yourself. And now the barrier to entry has been lowered so much. You know, it's really just a couple of installs, people finding spare devices to run their nodes on. It's really come a long way, which has its challenges because you have less technical people coming in, whereas originally it was really just builders like myself that were using it. So there's a lot of challenges there. And I foresee us having more of those challenges as we lower the bar even further and create a product that anyone can go and install and get running and set up on the Lightning Network within minutes.
Yeah, there's some interesting examples of that tension starting to come to bear right now, you know, particularly around Noster, where you have on the one hand sort of this, you know, force for lots of people actually interacting with Lightning in a different way through Zaps, but at the same time having a huge percentage of them go through custodial wallets and people asking questions about that. You know, how do you guys think about those sorts of, you know, trade-offs and the line between getting more users on board and sort of pulling them all the way into self-custody?
Well, first and foremost, I'm really happy that more people are using Lightning. To see, I think it's something like 160,000 Noster profiles with Lightning addresses in their profiles. That's astounding. Now, we don't know how many of those are active users or how many are duplicates, but still, that's no small feat to get to that number. And it's really impressive what the Noster community is doing. And it's something we're certainly involved in and want to keep championing. But ultimately, what we're seeing on these platforms is that people, by and large, are using custodial addresses on their the Lightning addresses in their profile. So it's a lot of Wallet of Satoshis, it's a lot of Albies, and those are great. We're pumped that people are, you know, actually interfacing and using this new technology, but the custodial nature of them is not what we want. It's not what Satoshi would want. And ultimately, if this stays the norm for how we interact with Bitcoin, I personally believe that we're going to fall into the same issues that the incumbent financial system have. So one of the initiatives that we're taking with Zeus is we're launching a new product focused around Lightning addresses. But instead of having someone else custody the coins for you, we're standing up infrastructure so that you can receive payments directly to your own node at home, whether it be an L&D node, a Core Lightning node. We've created a quite novel way to, you know, not have to have some custodian holding your coins on the receiving end.
Do you think that, you know, so right now as we're recording this, this will come out about a week from when we're recording it, but, you know, we've just watched Bitcoin go back up above 30,000, and a lot of the excitement over the last couple of days has been driven by sort of the mass return of the biggest institutions in the world coming back into the space. On the one hand, extremely validating, right? You know, and potentially a counterweight to, U.S. regulatory antagonism, which we've seen. But on the flip side, it's BlackRock, you know, hosting an ETF. It almost creates a scenario that sort of increases the need for non-custodial Bitcoin infrastructure, because we sort of have to assume that going forward, the vast majority of people's first experience with Bitcoin is going to be mediated by one of the world's big financial institutions. I mean, is that something that you guys think about in terms of sort of a desire to keep building out that non-custodial infrastructure?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's imperative for actors like ourselves to not only provide these tools for everyone to use freely, but continuing to lower the bar and make this software easier and easier to run. But as far as players like BlackRock or Vanguard or whoever's filing these ETFs, it's sort of the nature of it, right? Like, Bitcoin is for everyone. And sometimes those people using it are going to be people we consider bad people or enemies or just the incumbents. And that's okay. That's something we all need to accept. But what we don't have to accept is that people shouldn't be holding their assets through these major custodians. The whole point of Bitcoin is that it enables people, it empowers people to be able to hold this asset on their own very easily and very comfortably.
Speaking of centralized gatekeepers, I think that I had read that you guys had a little bit of a dust up with Apple a couple weeks ago. What happened there, and what was your experience in that context?
Well, with Apple, it's always very tricky. They often apply a lot of scrutiny to their reviews, far more than what we've seen from something like Google Play. You know, we're cross-platform. But basically, we received a notice that we needed to provide more information to show that we were properly registered to be a cryptocurrency exchange, even though we aren't one at all. We only allow people to connect to their own nodes and transfer or receive Bitcoin. And we're really fortunate. We were able to leave some notes for the reviewers, resubmit, and get the app approved the next day. This wasn't the first time something like this has happened with Apple, and we've gone through a lot of scrutiny before. Late 2021, we even had the app removed from the App Store in China. But we just see that there's going to be more and more scrutiny placed on smaller independent developers as these new bigger players come in and try to take market share. So it's really unfortunate, because unlike with Android, on iOS, you really are limited. You have to go through the App Store. Whereas on Android, you can download a binary for an application and manually install it yourself from anywhere, from the developer's website, sort of like how we offer on the Zeus website, from GitHub, from anywhere. But Apple is sort of creating a walled garden for themselves. We've seen some progress on this in terms of, I believe, the Fortnite case in Europe. It sounds like Apple has to allow sideloading in iOS 17 in Europe at the very least. But the latest developer builds don't show that functionality at all. So this is something that on one hand, we need to continue to push against. I think it's very important to allow people to run software on their devices. Otherwise, you don't truly own the device. You're sort of just loaning it out from Apple. But also, we need to get more creative, right? It's possible that Apple just puts their foot down. They collude with governments to make sure that they maintain their footing. And we have to get creative with the ways that we route around it. Progressive web apps is one great way around it. But if you're creative, there could be several more.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the company's been around for a long time. You've been working on this for a long time. What went into the decision to join Wolf for this first cohort?
Oh, man, I think it was just such a great opportunity. I think it's a number of things. First of all, it was just the right time for Zeus. We've hit enough maturity, but also created a clear path forward to making it a lucrative business, I believe. But also, I thought that what Wolf offered up was really quite unique. They're in a really interesting position, given their parent companies in Stone Ridge and NYDIG, the amount of resources that they made available to us. They're sort of peerless in a regard, like no other, you know, incubator or Bitcoin VCs in the space can offer you everything that they can. And we decided to jump on the opportunity, and we're really glad we did.
When you guys came into it, how much was it, I guess, you know, business as usual? You were just doing it in surrounded by these new resources and context, versus you came in saying, hey, there's something specific that, you know, we know is on our timeline that we want to really focus in on or build something new. Like, for you guys, I guess, what was the goal of the time there, outside of just absorbing all that you could get from it?
Well, building has never really been an issue for me or my team. We've been able to ship some really amazing software with quite limited support and resources. It's really just everything else that it takes to make a business, to run it and to make it successful, that I really needed the resources for. You know, I've never started up my own company formally, like at this scale. And I just wanted to get as much advice and feedback in both how to construct a company, how to handle pivots, you know, owning the direction of your company, to preparing a pitch and our pitch deck and how we interface with our investors. And on that front, I think we've undergone a radical transformation, and we're really happy with the outcome there.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Bitcoin tends to attract a lot of people who are, one, technical, and B, very mission oriented, right? They're not, it's not like the people who are just raw, like sociopathic entrepreneurs who just want to go wherever the big opportunity is, tend to find their ways, if they're going to find their way into crypto, into other parts of the industry, right? And so it kind of makes sense that you're going to have a higher proportion of companies or projects that, you know, it's useful to have that sort of, you know, more traditional business, you know, assets available, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about Olympus. So I think you had mentioned it, or you started kind of telling us a little bit about it before, but what is Olympus and what's the goal with that?
So Olympus is our Lightning Service Provider, or LSP. And at its heart, it's really Zeus's engine of monetization. It's how we're going to make all our money, right? So first and foremost, Olympus is going to provide people with easy and affordable connectivity to the Lightning Network in the form of these channel leases. So in order to send or receive payments on Lightning, you need to have a Lightning channel. So the first focus of Olympus is going to be that. It's going to be integrated into the new version of Zeus, but it's also going to have an open API. So we hope to see it integrated into other Bitcoin Lightning wallets. And beyond that core functionality of allowing people to buy these channel leases, we are also, like I mentioned earlier, going to have services for Lightning addresses, but also other tools to make people process and self-custodying easier. So we're going to do automatic channel backups for when people have their channel states change, as well as provide free watchtowers so that we'll be able to look at our customers' channels and make sure their counterparties aren't cheating them.
How has the reception been of that so far? How long have you been out in market kind of talking about it, offering it?
Not very long. It's been about 2 months, and we've been very, very cautious about rolling it out. We have a very small group of testers, but that allows us to get really granular and intimate feedback from those testers to refine the product before we get it out the door. But yeah, the reception has been overwhelmingly positive. There's definitely a need for more players in LSP space, generally speaking, just in terms of those channel leases. But we've also had such a great reception to the idea of our self-custodial Lightning addresses too. And we're really excited to get those in the hands of more people.
Amazing. When you think about Lightning adoption over the next year, let's call it, what do you think are the most important steps? Is it infrastructure? Is it education? Is it just everyone doing more of what they're doing now? You know, obviously you're thinking about it from the standpoint of your specific company, but zooming out a little bit more broadly, what do you think are some key things to do?
So first of all, the software needs to mature a bit more. User experiences need to improve. There's still some rough edges that definitely need to be ironed out. But I also believe that we need to do a better job at trying to burn the candle from both ends, right? So our company is going to be B2B and B2C, which means business to business, business to consumer. We want to create the best in class Lightning wallet for anyone to just download from the App Store and get off to the races running, sending, and receiving payments. But we also are providing tooling for merchants to more easily accept payments via the Lightning Network. So we think there needs to be, you know, more offerings in that regard. We need more places for users to easily off-ramp from Bitcoin, especially no KYC. And I really am quite bullish on Taproot Assets, which is going to enable other assets to be issued through Taproot on Bitcoin and transferred over Lightning as well. So we really believe that Taproot Assets are going to be a bit of a Trojan horse for Bitcoin, as merchants no longer have to incur, you know, these 3% processing fees to accept payment from their customers.
When you think about sort of the same time period, you know, what makes you most excited about Bitcoin and Lightning, and what's sort of the greatest cause for concern or nervousness you have?
I'm just really excited for the upcoming cycle. I believe we're going to be in a raging bull market in the next 18 months or so. That alone is going to bring in a whole new wave of users, and that's going to be incredibly exciting. As far as caution, I'm definitely concerned about big players and custodians, you know, chipping away, holding more Bitcoin, the risk for users to be rehypothecated or lose their coins. That's always a concern of mine as a champion of self-custody. But, you know, also regulatory. We've seen what, you know, different regulators and governments would have done in the last year to sort of stifle innovation from the little guys to prop up the big guys. And I frankly see that only increasing, especially in places like the United States.
Well, I think that it's going to be an amazing cycle too. I'm excited to see what you guys build during it, and appreciate you taking some time off from building to come chat today.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, back to NLW here for just a really quick wrap up. One of the things that I really liked about Evan's attitude towards this whole space is that it's very clear where they stand as relates to self-custody. For years, they've been building self-custody solutions for Bitcoin. However, you could tell from that conversation that the attitude wasn't that somehow people who didn't interact with Bitcoin in that way were wrong. And in fact, it was incumbent upon people like Evan and the community members who do understand the value of self-custody to build the tools, the knowledge, the awareness to actually get people to proactively take those steps for themselves. I think that's a really healthy way of looking at things. It allows us to view any door into Bitcoin as a potentially positive one. It suggests that Bitcoin is capable of absorbing a lot of interest from different parties, even as big TradFi actors, for example, get involved. I think that's a really optimistic way to look at things, and shows a lot of entrepreneurial humility, let's call it, in terms of how it's important for us to go out and build the tools that get people to use Bitcoin the way that we might hope, the way that it offers a difference from the existing system. Something definitely to take away as we wrap up this Bitcoin Builders Summer series. I hope that over the last three episodes, you've seen just what an interesting set of people are out building on Bitcoin right now. From adding really deep, important market trading functionality to Bitcoin that doesn't compromise on values, to building out this sort of self-custodial Lightning infrastructure, to plugging in Bitcoin as the perfect solution for mobile game tournaments, there is some amazing Bitcoin building happening. Big cheers once again to our sponsor, In Wolf's Clothing, Wolf, for supporting all of these companies through their accelerator. If you guys are interested in building a Bitcoin company, I highly suggest you check out Wolf at wolfnyc.com. I believe that they are opening up applications for a new cohort within the next couple of weeks. And for those of you who are just listening and enjoying, I hope you walked away with a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more inspiration. Until next time, guys, let's build.